In Dungeons and Dragons, there are things that you can do to the character that the DM may decide will grant you extra feats or more points in a specific category.
Do you have extra legs to go with those extra feats?
Detriments of some kind. And I don't remember what the technical word for it is, but that.
Great example, Posse. You buckle up for the sex. It's the After Hope Nothing podcast. Good.
With your hosts,
Salsa!
James!
And Jenna!
And I think Jenna needs a drink.
Oh my god.
I need a drink.
I need to get through this.
What do we have here?
Fresh Arizona Hell.
Oh my god.
We have the original Arizona premium spiked beverage here. Hard!
Cowboy cocktail.
Mango lemonade.
Yeah.
The only difference is the word mango from mango. Pink or whatever it was.
Yeah,
strawberry.
The fonts are still all over the place.
Mango. They're fucking.
The kerning is terrible. The
color schematics are not pink and teal. It's now
mango.
Yellow, yeah. Orange.
I've been getting photos
green.
Of this.
Why? And your phone has immediately burst into flame.
Like a burnt red in there somewhere. Like.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, it's still. It's not. Like, it's still 90s, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, encompass it the
like
way the other ones
somewhere
did,
there was
you know?
A graphic designer
yeah.
who was just like, how about this? And then, like, a person in charge was like, what else can Photoshop do?
Oh God!
I don't know what it can do. I heard it can do this. Put that in there.
Okay. Use some of the filters.
Yeah. Okay. No. How about this? I a friend of mine said that you can change the fonts. Do that.
I almost wonder if this wasn't like they went to hire a designer. And they were like, you want how much? My nephew could do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
and
my
then
God.
They did. And the guy went, perfect. We
right.
love it.
Yeah. I paid $25 for that font CD, and you're going to use all of them?
Oh, my God.
I spent good money on those typefaces. We're going to use every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's find out how good this is.
All right, or, cheers. I actually really like that.
Yeah, really.
Oh, that one.
Really? It's
had the tinny can
a little
to it. I don't think I got that with the other ones, but this one I got that.
I got that with
the I think
flavor.
A little bit
pink
on the
lemonade.
End.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the first bit is like, "Oh, that actually tastes kind of like a mango
really
puree
does.
And lemonade. Like,
yeah.
No, I was digging it for the first half of it, and then the back half hit me, and it was just the aluminum flavor.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
no, I think there's...
Aluminium,
well,
for
the,
our British listener. Mm-hmm.
The way to solve that is to just keep chugging.
Yeah. Just never stop.
Just
if you
stop.
Never get to the back...
Yeah, if you never get to the back end
never
of it.
Stop, mm-hmm. don't stopping. Yeah.
Don't stop.
You stop.
I do what I want.
Oh God!
For fuck's sake! What shall we do?
Okay, I'm gonna start this.
All right.
Tragedy of my fucking month. Okay, so. There are still boiler issues. Just know that that is going on in my life and will continue to do so until I can turn off the heat so that the landlord can replace the boiler and not, plus there's permits and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to hypothesize, maybe it's not working because you keep fixing it instead of letting a professional.
I didn't know that you were going to end that sentence with the word professional, and I thought I was going to have to run very fast to get out of the splash zone.
Is she going to spill my beverage?
Accessory to
Murder.
The crime.
Just straight up murder.
Just
no, I'm feeling crime. Plucky tonight, apparently.
No, I've noticed. Like, the landlord also, like, because we can make it work for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the landlord showed me how, and I've been doing it, and then he mm-hmm. comes and he does the thing, and it's just, nope, it just needs a replacing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just kind of like, my house is perimenopausal right now.
It's a very, very, very fine house.
It's
in the middle of the street?
but... it's either freezing or boiling over. Mm. There's very little in between.
Yeah.
My house is having hot flashes.
No, there is no Goldilocks in your house.
No.
Mm.
So that's just underlying everything mm-hmm. happening at my place. Like, and I got through a few hell weeks at work. And that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Things have finally slowed down a bit to where I can catch my breath. That's great. Mm. And so I had gotten the temperature. I've also been working on a project over the past few weeks. I am making some new jackets for the fencing booth. Mm-hmm. And I have come up with a pattern that is easy to replicate, that will standardize certain sizes, all of these things. But it's been a lot of, whenever you're designing something, there's some trial and error that happens with
mm-hmm,
it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'd gotten everything to a point where I needed it. I'd gotten a few prepped and ready for being surged, or as I told Joe, prepped for surgery. He almost broke up with me right there. So, yeah. But, so I had these ready to go, and I go to use my serger, and there's no power. Zero power to the serger.
Hmm.
The power through that cable goes everywhere else, but not the serger. So, my old serger, and frankly, that thing was 10 years old. I got it from a shitty ex, and I'm fine for it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like, all right, well, excuse to buy a new serger.
Yeah.
So, I bought a new serger, but there's delay in getting that to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I get the new serger, and I start having issues with it. Sergers are finicky beasts.
Yes. Mm.
They run off of machinery, pixie dust, and hope.
Yeah.
That is just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the tension just right for each of the four different tension dials or the little width stitch or all of the rest of it,
Jesus.
A thread is going to snap somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I spent 5 fucking hours.
Sometimes that thread is inside Jenna's mind. That snaps when you get tired of dealing with it. Oh, God. Prolonged eye contact. Prolonged eye contact. Okay.
Be careful not to snap my thread, James.
Yeah.
Prepped for surgery.
And Salsa is now caught up with the conversation. Good. All right.
God damn it. I hate you so much. You should not be laughing at that. It's not funny.
It totally is.
God damn it. So anyway, I start to use this machine, and there is one specific thread that keeps snapping. Mm-hmm. And normally I know how to fix these things.
Mm.
And I do everything I know how to fix these things. And mm-hmm. I have checked. I have played with the tension about 15 different ways from last Sunday. I have rethread the thing numerous times. I have checked all of the needles. I replaced the needles that I could just because maybe.
Sure.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made sure everything was clean. Not that there was a lot to clean because it was a new fucking machine.
Mm-hmm.
I did every fucking thing.
Mm.
So I went to Facebook. And I said, hello, Facebook. I have done every fucking thing. Do you have anything that I have not tried? And of course, half the comments were, oh, have you tried doing this thing you already tried doing? Yeah. Which is... but, like...
Yeah.
Or doing this in a different way, doing that, whatever. And one person was like, okay, so you're threading it in this specific order, correct? Which is a fair question. I did not say which order I was threading it in, so fair. And I responded, yeah, it's got the order just written out. It's these different colors on the dials. And they're like, oh, do you have such and such model? And I was like, yes. They're like, me too. Here's what I found works for how to set the tension.
Oh.
As opposed to just, oh, play around with the tension until it works. She gave me the exact settings that she uses. And she did that right before I was going to go to bed. So the next morning, I wake up and I rethread the entire damn thing. And I reseat the needles and all of this stuff. And I set the tensions to those exact things. And guess what the fuck?
Still breaks.
It worked.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like, this person basically just handed me the password to my own serger. And so I...
Prepped for surgery.
God damn it.
Damn it.
I never should have said that. I hate you both.
It's justified. You're not wrong.
So I start tiddling away, working on my stuff, because honestly, I've been backlogged. I've just been making more and more things.
Sure,
been until I had a surger to do surgery to
front log with.
Okay.
Front your log.
Delog your front. No, never. No.
Surgery to correct your constipation.
So anyway. But yeah, so I start tootling away. And like, I've got enough, I do the calculation, should be able to crank out the rest of my work as far as the surgery aspect is done in like 4 hours. So an hour and a half later.
Oh.
My surger, I'm going through and I'm hitting, it's getting a little tough. There's like a little tough part and I'm like, Wonder what's going on. And then I hear a... Ka-chunk!
Oh. Ooh.
And it's the kind of noise that you hear when a needle has snapped and goes into the undersides and gets into the fucking gears.
Yeah.
It was that noise. That didn't happen.
Oh.
My my two top needles for the overstitch lock are fine. My locking needles on the underside seem to be okay.
Same.
God damn it. Fuck you both. Anyway, but I think maybe one of the overlocking needles, the upper overlock needle, might be bent. Maybe. Ooh. I don't know. But like nothing broke. Which is what I thought. So I tried doing some adjustments, some realignment stuff, and I don't know if the needle itself is the main issue.
Ooh.
And that's way more of a bitch to replace than your regular sewing machine.
Needle.
I'm going to, because new fucking surgery, but...
Right.
But, yeah, but there's also, like, it really seems like something just got knocked out of alignment in the machine itself. Because I was doing some back and forth stuff, and things that weren't previously brushing up against each other were now brushing up against each other. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
And you really, you need a very precise measuring tool for the insides of a serger. So I'm like, I just, God damn it. So then I had to stop work on that.
Right.
And I was cranky.
Mm-hmm.
And my wonderful partner was very good to me. Was like, oh shit, you've seen some things today. You look like you've been crying. I'm like, You're correct. It's like, I'm going to, whatever you need, baby, I got you. I'm like, yep. Yeah. This is why he's so very attractive. Seriously, that's all it takes is just, I got you. That's it. You, and follow through. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Follow through.
Yeah. See? So anyway, so I am now borrowing Raiderly's serger. I will be leaving the podcast with her serger, which is the exact same brand and model that I have, the one that I just purchased and broke. So here's hoping I don't break it.
Oh,
I just got that for her for Christmas.
Oh, look at all this wood.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just everything.
Please be gentle.
I can't mean gentle.
It's the first time.
To be fair, if it's my serger, I am meaner to it. If it's somebody else's serger, I'm way more respectful.
Sure.
I'm like, you seem to be having issues. We will rethread everything and reassemble all the bits and bobs. But I know where to set
the setting. You know the setting. Yeah, you know the tension settings.
I know the tension settings. Yep. So here we go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's been the vast majority of my month.
Yes.
And I am very ready for this month to be done. Mm. Because I'm tired of all of this. On the plus side, things that have been lovely is that I put down some clover seed and I'm starting to see some sprouts.
Yay!
And I'm hopeful I might actually get a lawn this year. So that'd be nice. It's been beautifully rainy, like every other day, just very consistent.
Yeah.
And that's going to keep going for another week or so.
Yeah.
And that means I don't have to do anything to help take care of this lawn project.
Optimal.
So,
yeah.
That's really good for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a Ren Fest this weekend. We'll see what that rain looks like.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, fingers crossed on that.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a week out, so things can change. But right now, it's like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, had a gentacular, and it was amazing in the end.
Yay!
Yeah. Well, all right.
Yeah.
For my mother's Christmas
gift... Oh, one more thing.
Gift,
I'm kidding.
I told her that I would bring her to a series of art museums.
For surgery.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm. And... the MIA had Art in Bloom. Have you seen the Art in Bloom exhibition that they do?
No.
Apparently annually.
Oh, no.
I have heard of it. Yeah. I've just never gone to see it.
No,
this was my first time visiting during this particular thing. One, real fucking busy.
Believe
it. A lot of people want to see it. We started our day at the Walker. And hilariously, I borrowed one of their wheelchairs because of my injury. So I was rolling through the Walker, and
I get it.
Then got to see some of my old favorite like stuff in their permanent collection. They have an exhibition about somebody who did a lot of the 90s art. When you think of like t-shirts and pop culture from the 1990s, like he did a lot of that stuff. Hmm. Like the little silhouette of the person dancing or the barking dog, like very stylistically drawn. All of these things were graffiti. I believe his last name is Haley. But he died very young, but his art became synonymous with the art scene and New York in the 90s.
Mm.
And was a gigantic fucking deal. And it's a great exhibit. Like, it's fascinating to watch videos of him painting a floor with zero plan of how to fill the space.
Okay.
Just for me, that causes me anxiety. And watching somebody just do that as a carefree art form, that's there's something weirdly beautiful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But it's also there's so much about his life and the context of the era and everything like that. It's very good. I wholeheartedly recommend. Also, the Walker is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody there, one of the docents, had warned us that if we were heading to the MIA next, we were probably too late. That their parking situation for several city blocks tended to fill up at like 10 a.m.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
And that person was mostly correct. We did manage to snag a spot after, I want to say, like 10, 15 minutes of looking.
Okay.
Which, all things considered, not bad.
Yeah.
The Art in Bloom exhibition is, I believe, over. But if you get a chance to see it next year, fucking do it. Because, the MIA has a lot of my favorite pieces of art in it and a lot of my favorite exhibits. But the Art in Bloom thing that they're doing is giving florists and flower arrangers, and I don't know what the Latin term for it is, but folks who do blooms real good.
Sure.
That they plant great. They create something that sort of alludes to one of the works.
Hmm.
So sometimes it's a more literal thing, like they have this painting that sort of looks down a cathedral hall with blues and greens and golds mm-hmm. and whites and that kind of stuff, and somebody sort of created with bent branches and flowers that
sure,
cathedral
yeah.
hall for you to look down.
It's and pieces inspired by
right.
other pieces.
Yeah. Other times it was more something suggested by the art.
Mm-hmm.
Makes
sense.
Or a piece of a repeating pattern of something, mm-hmm. or you know, what have you?
No. Motif.
Yeah, it was surprisingly fucking fascinating to see what people were doing with it, and to see how each piece linked to a piece nearby.
Mm.
And it was a good way to revisit art that was otherwise familiar. But yeah. It was very nice. It was a lovely afternoon. So yeah, took my ma over there to see those things. Stopped for lunch at A Slice of New York. Wholeheartedly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
They have delicious food, and we just we had a super nice time.
Mm.
And then put the house together a little bit more
mm-hmm.
for
ongoing process.
The upcoming May the 4th movie marathon. That yes. That will be taking place, and that just seeing the living room put together a little better in a way where we had told ourselves, like, yeah, we'll do this if we have like a big thing, and then not doing it, but we managed to get folks to come and help us aww. Put things together, and so that as a community effort our house is a little bit more put together, and that's such a such a fucking lovely thing
well, and
to have happen.
You all really just kind of gush over community vibe stuff, like you are community people.
Mm-hmm.
And like having a community help and assist is just like, it makes it that much better for you guys, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you, that's a thing that you
share
in your grand partnership of doom.
We are. We're hoping to do the same thing with the yard. But then Sunday evening, I did a Ville show about church. Sick. And we had a really good crowd. Not only did we have a decent attendance, but like the people who were there to fucking
to have a joy. You didn't have protesters?
Not yet.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But we... communion was gummy dicks.
That makes sense.
We handed out purity rings.
Ooh,
and nice. there were filthy songs and lots and lots and lots of biblical dick and fart jokes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what I would expect, yeah.
Yeah. It was a great time.
Good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I have a story to tell.
I don't believe you.
And it's not my story.
I do believe
for surgery.
Fuck. I hate you guys so much. You're awful.
No, it's not my story. It's my daughter's.
Oh.
And in order to tell this story, I need to back up a little bit. And
as the Earth's crust cools.
Not quite. Not, oh, too far. Oh, too far. Oh, too far. So, professional women's hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There were attempts years back. There was a Canadian league mm-hmm. that sprang up that did okay for a few years, eventually folded. Mm-hmm. There was an American league that was here for a few years, and eventually that's where the Whitecaps, who you've probably yeah. heard me talk about, that they were part of that league.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years into their existence, half of their players left because the league had no money. They were paying people like $35,000. It was like not Jesus. Yeah. It was people were having full time jobs and then going to play hockey on and it was rough.
Yeah.
And like
then that's not a professional women's hockey.
Yeah, exactly. And like the NHL. They went to the NHL and were like, hey, how about some, like, working together and stuff? And the yeah. NHL was like, no, you can kind
of... I think it's very cute yeah, what you yeah. girls are doing.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so, like...
I've heard that before. So, that's, like, I'm just giving
league,
it back.
Half of the league said, we've got to just gut this out and just chug forward and eventually we're going to... you know, show them that we belong. We just need to gut this out.
Yeah.
And the other half went, fuck that. We deserve better contracts. We deserve the NHL to fucking pay attention to us. We deserve mm-hmm. shit. Mm-hmm. And so it split into two different leagues.
Ooh.
This lasted for a couple years before an entirely different investor group led by Billie Jean King of... tennis fame and, mm-hmm. and you know, yeah. Battle of the Sexes. Yeah. Investor group came in, bought both leagues.
Oh.
Said, all right, we're going to fucking do this right.
All right, children.
Yeah, we're going to fucking do this right. We've got money. We know people. We're going to get the fucking NHL involved. We're going to get money involved. And we're going to do this fucking right.
Mm.
That awesome. Is that is what we have now in the PWHL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where we're at. That's the very brief lesson in professional women's hockey. Now, back in the days when, before the schism of mm-hmm. the American mm-hmm. hockey group.
The Nicene Council of hockey.
Basically.
Yeah. My mm-hmm. daughter was at school,
mm-hmm.
and they had a program of some sort. I don't know exactly all the details, but one of the things she got was she got some trading cards. You know, like baseball cards, except yeah. hockey. And it was like, one of them was like Zach Parise, and one of them was Hannah Brandt.
Mm.
Hannah Brandt played for the Whitecaps at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time my daughter had ever seen a professional woman hockey player.
Gotcha.
And sure. so she latched onto that. Like, Hannah Brandt is her hero. Hannah right. Brandt is her idol. And now that, you know, she's seen a lot more, she's playing it herself, she's been to a bunch of games, she's aware of other players, but, like, that's mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. first one for her. That's her Absolutely. First, that's yeah. her hero.
Yeah.
So, it was like, okay, she locked onto this, Hannah Brandt's her hero, and was like, cool, we should go to some games and watch. And that summer is when that schism happened.
Mm.
And Hannah Brandt went with the Players Union, who said, fuck you all, we deserve better. And so, like, we went to a few Whitecaps games, but Hannah Brandt was not there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, fuck, we have lost our opportunity to go see your hero play. You know, she's going to go on to eventually either stop playing hockey, or she's going to get a job in a front office somewhere, or who knows.
Right. Hmm.
Cut to last year when they announced this new professional league, and Hannah Brandt gets drafted by Boston.
Oh.
So she's playing again. Really happy about this. Hannah Brandt is playing again.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Super happy about it. I look for tickets to games. Boston does play here in Minnesota a few times throughout the year.
Yeah.
But can't go to those games for various different reasons.
Sure.
It's a school night or, you know,
middle of August.
However, last weekend, final home game for the PWHL Minnesota versus Boston. Saturday matinee. And we're home.
Well,
I'm like, this is it. This is our fucking chance. I buy these tickets months ago.
Yeah.
Because who knows what's going to happen next year? Who knows what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah.
Right.
I want my daughter to be able to go watch her hero play hockey.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so not only do we go to this game, I buy second row tickets.
Oh, wow.
Oh, buddy.
On the visiting side.
Oh.
So I'm, and yeah, so I'm like, we're going to do this right. Mm-hmm. And like, doors open at noon, we're there at noon.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so that way she can be there for player warm-ups and everything like that. We brought poster boards. She made a sign. It's got Hannah Brandt is my favorite written on it. She's up there. So we get there. She, during warm-ups, she's right there at the glass with her sign, Hannah Brandt is my favorite. And she has a smile plastered on her face. She's beaming like the sun.
This is too adorable.
It is. I was crying fat tears.
I was about to say, like, I'm misty right now.
Like, oh, yeah. No,
and
yeah. It's about to get a
I'm
lot.
I'm fogging up.
About to get a lot worse.
Oh, wow.
So she's in the corner. You know, she's just watching the players go by. We're happy as a clam. Mm. And then Hannah Brandt sees her sign and waves at her and smiles at her. And my daughter is absolutely walking on clouds.
My God.
She is the happiest she's ever been. A few other players on the Boston team see her tap the stick on her sign. You know, she's beaming. This is the best experience of her life.
Oh, my God.
I'm weeping, crying just openly at this point in time. Warm-ups wrap to a close. Players, you know, the buzzer goes off. Time for them to go back to their locker room and get ready for the game. Hannah Brandt stops, takes off her glove, picks up the puck that she was just warming up with, skates over to Lilibeth, points at her, and tosses the puck over the over the glass.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah. This puck, on one side is written, official warm-up puck, PWHL, and on the other side it says, inaugural game, Boston versus Minnesota, April 27th, you know, 2024. It's got the date on it.
Oh my God!
And this is the puck that she was warming up with on the ice, and she just gave, like, my daughter.
Treasure.
My daughter. Yeah. Her the edges of her mouth are like are cartoonishly further apart than her mouth physically is capable. My daughter cannot physically contain the joy in her body.
Oh my God.
She's just overcome with how happy she was.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is a moment that my daughter is going to remember for the rest of her life.
Oh my God.
The game starts. We are second row. The people in the first row never show up.
Oh, good investment.
So we quickly upgrade.
Oh my God.
So we're now
on the ice,
on the glass.
Yeah,
for the game.
Oh people my
are,
god!
Like, people are slamming into the glass like 2 feet from my head. Like it, we're there.
Oh my god.
We're watching. This is a great game.
Oh,
game is coming to an end. Mm. It's 1-1 at the end of the third period.
Ooh.
Boston scores with 2.7 seconds left in the game to win it.
Oh, oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god.
And who do you think scored that goal?
Wow.
Oh, was it our buddy Hannah?
It was Hannah Brandt.
Mm.
Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did Lilibet wet herself at that point?
And Hannah Brandt, too.
Yeah.
All credit to her. She's an amazing hockey player.
Sure.
She's not one of the superstars.
Okay.
You know, she's not one of the big names that's on all the posters and everything like that. You know, she probably doesn't see that many posters with her name on it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No shade. It's just one of those facts. She's like a third line grinder. Her job is to keep the other team from scoring. She's not a big name.
Right.
But there was that little girl with the poster there for her at that game.
Oh my God.
And I like to think that's what lifted her to score the game winning goal with 2.7 left in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, my daughter was. I don't think her feet touched the ground for the entire time.
You had to make sure that you tied your daughter like, to your wrist to like a balloon exactly. to make sure.
Yeah. Just hovering.
I just, oh my God.
And it was the final game, final home game of the season for Minnesota. So it was fan appreciation night. So they were like handing out these little, inaugural banners and things like that. And I stopped at the gift shop and got her a little like PWHL pin and stuff like that. So she was just, Saturday was the best day fucking ever.
Oh my God. Her.
And I am and so for you. Happy that I got to make it happen.
Yeah.
I'm happy that...
Oh, shit. Yeah.
This... I thought it never was going to happen. And,
yeah.
And it has now. And I'm so...
The stars aligned.
So you, happy about it.
You have parented so good.
Oh, my God. I felt so good about that. Like, I was...
You've gotten all of the pop points now.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
It was... And... From my own story, it was a really fun game.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fantastic hockey game. Nobody scored until the end of the second period.
Jeez.
When Minnesota finally broke that 0-0 tie.
It was just fast and furious.
It was just one of those games where, like, for 40 minutes, it was just, like, something's eventually going to happen. But, you're just holding it in. It's just, like, that delay. And when it finally happened, it was the big, like, the whole place went fucking nuts. It was a great game. But to top it off, to see my daughter, just the smile plastered on her face, it was so good. So that's my daughter's hockey story.
That's wonderful.
And that's what I did this weekend.
I'm going to need a few minutes to recombobulate myself after that story.
Let's take a break then.
Let's take a break.
Oh my God. Like,
I'm going to go cry.
A corner of my eyes. I need a smoke.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Luckily, my farts smell like roses, so...
Yeah, roses that have been dipped in shit.
I didn't specify what kind of roses.
No, you like to think that your shit downstairs.
You know how you get like a dozen roses and put them in a vase and then you just leave them there and then like the water gets gross and like you go to lift out the roses.
Like molder.
Like the roses are dead and you go to lift them out and you get that funk. That's what I meant. That's
We've
what
got
my farts
funk.
Smell like.
Go get that funk.
We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
I know I'm going to regret this, but what are we talking about?
We're talking about memories.
Core memories?
Core memories, childhood memories, mm-hmm. memories of various... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those memories of when your dad took you to a hockey game and you got to meet your hero.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little short on those, but
metaphorically speaking. Mm.
Yeah. No, I'm still going to be short on those. But I do have, I have a very specific memory working at the Renaissance Festival. Mm-hmm. So I was 11, mm-hmm. and my little brother was probably like 8 or something. Mm-hmm. 8, yeah. Mm-hmm. He would have been 8 at that point. Maybe 9? Maybe... No, 8.
Nobody is fact-checking this.
My brother does actually listen to this podcast. He might be.
That's fair.
But basically, I was in charge of us out at Fest growing up. And last year, before I was contracted, I discovered the Irish Cottage. And I had a couple of friends that were working in there, and it was a dry place to be sometimes.
Right.
And there was one story that, Brian Murphy told. He played Da at the Irish Cottage before he was Shakespeare and Falstaff and all of the various other characters he moved on to tell. Mm-hmm. But so he was playing Da, and it was a rainy day, and I come in with my brother, and we're barely, we don't have cloaks, I have a shawl.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I think Steve may have had like a little capelety thing, but not weather appropriate. Sure. Really,
Yeah.
So we come in, and I am cognizant that there are patrons in this building, and the patrons should get the best of the stuff. They're our guests, right?
Yeah.
But Brian Murphy told the story about how, like, these two little kids come in, and he just kept, like, shifting a little bit and kind of very gently herded us towards the fireplace. Right. And we went back to cottage every day after that, and I helped like with peeling potatoes and helping do stuff at the cottage. And the person who played Ma actually kind of also like the two of them just kind of took us under the wing, right? Like helping out. And so the person that played Ma actually ran into me and my father at Minicon after that particular fest season. And she said, Michael, my father's name is Michael. Michael, I have a situation. All of these people keep dumping their children at my cottage, and they're not contracted to be there. They just end up there because their parents aren't just let them free roam and aren't taking care of them properly. And so now I end up taking care of these children that are not contracted to be in my cottage. My father was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's not going to happen again. She's like, you're right. It's not going to happen again because I'm giving Jenna a contract. I was like, oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
And that's actually how I started at the age of 12. But
also, pay attention to your fucking kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
But yeah, at the age of 12, I had my first contract at the Irish Cottage. But it was definitely, for me, it was this place where they took us in and they helped take care of us. And they very, very, without saying anything out loud, just kind of edged us towards the fire and made sure we had food and water and things like that. That's a very happy memory.
It's so cozy.
And almost more happy is listening to Brian Murphy tell his part of that story. That is the the part that sits in my heart.
Or Brian Murphy telling any story.
Right. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, but that one hit me on a specific level. Oh, like, sure. Let me be clear. Like,
I mean, there's a story, and then there's a story.
Right. So, anyway, and that is definitely a very strong memory that I have of just being wet and then going into this building and people taking care of us. And it was very nice. So.
That is incredibly sweet.
And that's, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I keep working at the Renaissance Festival.
It's that's fair.
Basically. Mm. I've told people it's like my summer cabin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just, that's what I do every summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Into fall.
Yep.
If you want to go catch fish that you have to then clean, I mean, we're going to go entertain people.
Mm-hmm.
And clean them.
And, yep. Out of their money.
Nah. Yeah.
So anyway,
for me, a core memory. It was like a kind of a string of Christmas lights. This core memory. My parents refused to get us video games, and we were ungrateful as fuck. We got computers because there was a warehouse that liquidated all of their computer stock, and so we ended up with a couple of computers and some like educational software.
Sure.
Which ended up being incredibly useful.
Did you have Number Munchers?
Good. No, I had Math Blasters and a couple of other things, but the Grammar School Bus was probably my favorite and taught me a lot of things.
I had Mavis Beacon.
Ooh. Yeah, just had actual computers, and we were learning to type, and I was learning how to do AV stuff to hook them up to the TVs and stuff, because there wasn't a separate computer monitor, all of that stuff. But we were fucking desperate for a Nintendo, because we had seen Fred Savage in The Wizard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love my glove.
And it's so bad. and the just all of that stuff, to the point where for a breakfast cereal, I got the Nintendo cereal system because I was convinced that if I won the Power Glove, that my parents would never let that go to waste and I would absolutely end up with the Nintendo. No, that
is solid fucking child logic.
Just good thinking. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. And my dad had a habit of finding me watching Saturday morning cartoons and saying, like, put your shoes on, we're going to Fleet Farm. Put your shoes on, we're going to a neighbor's farm to go pick up hay bales. Put your shoes on, we're going to go, like, weed the garden. We're going to go do things.
Errands. It's,
yeah, today is my day off, and I'm going to work for some reason. Yeah, I get it now. It made no sense to me then.
Sure.
Just like napping made no sense to me then.
Oh, and I love a good nap.
I do, too. Yeah, and so one day he comes out and he goes, all right, get your skates on. And I ran to the, I was like, all right, okay. Turned off the TV, put my cereal bowl in the sink, and I you know, popped my little sneakers on and was there at the door. And he goes, all right, go get in the car. And I hop in, station wagon, and he gets in and he goes, okay, hand me the map book, and like he opens up the King's Book of Roadmap and
sure.
stuff. And he goes, I was like, where are we going? And he goes, well, you don't want to go to a video game conference, do you? I was like, what?
Yeah.
And he said, oh yeah. I saw this in the newspaper this morning and, you were ready to help. So, I figured I'd treat you to something fun. We're gonna go play video games and have a day out, as you know, father son day.
Aww.
And yeah, drove me over to one of the Dales. I don't remember which one. Probably Southdale, I think.
Southdale.
That was the year that Sega was touring with the Genesis and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay.
And. Like, I was aware of the Sega Genesis. It was not being heavily advertised yet.
They hadn't gotten into the console wars.
Correct. Mm. They were warming that plate up.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was imploding, like sitting in the front seat of the station wagon, just like having a fit. And we got there, and they just had rows, just like 50, 60 Segas hooked up with all playing different video games. And they had a huge Sonic the Hedgehog mascot there handing out comic books. And I hung on to it. I don't still have that comic book, but I hung on to it for several years, weirdly, like a long time. It meant something. I shook Sonic's hand. I got a comic book from Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. So, he sees me playing this, and he's like, how are you liking it? You know, what games are you interested in? Like, what's good? And I was like, well, you know, that one, I like the one with the ninja. I like that one over there. The guy has a sword. That's great. That's very cool.
What, you like swords?
Right. I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog, and he was like, do you think you could be, like, good at this? Do you feel like you're getting the hang of it? And I was like, yeah, this guy's the boss of this level. And he's like, great. All right, well, Dad's going to disappear for a hot second, so...
where could he be going?
You have to stay here and play video games. Can you do that? Well, yes, I can.
Gee, Dad.
I did not have the words at that time, but Father, I can promise you, yes, that is what will happen. So, he did end up being gone for kind of a while, and I was starting to get worried about him, and I saw him, he was walking out of a KB Toys with a bag the size of, like, a Volkswagen, and he looked at me, and he looked at the bag, and he said, "You saw nothing, and you have no idea what happened, other than that we played video games today." And I said, "What do you mean?
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about." And he goes, "Great. Yeah, good. Good work. All right. Well, we're headed home. Did you have fun?" And I was like, "I had a blast." And he's like, "Good. Now you just have to keep this a secret for..."
Keep what a secret, Dad?
7 months.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, "Keep what a secret?" Right? Exactly. Mm-hmm. You guys... All right.
Oh, my God.
Christmas morning, pretty literally 7 months later, I think, Christmas morning, we unwrap a Sega Genesis with Sonic the Hedgehog, and... went.
I was going to say, it was a sweater. Nuts. He broke the shit out of you.
But just like that, and then playing Sonic the Hedgehog, one of the things that had kind of turned the tide, because they absolutely did not want to get us non-educational software,
sure,
was that we had been in California, and my mom sat down and played Mario, and then didn't stop playing Mario.
All right.
And then, like, my dad was like, "Hey, if we're going to go see those cactus gardens," she's like, "Yeah, you better go soon."
Ooh.
Yep. So, but my mom
has that bitter pill taste.
Playing Sonic the Hedgehog since we got that Sega. And she is as big a fan of Sonic and Cool Spot and all of that stuff as we are. And it was just like a fucking Christmas miracle. And
7 months in the
God damn. Oh, what a miserable thing to ask a child to do.
How old?
That would have been like 91, I think. 91, maybe 92. So I would have been 9.
Oh, that's a rough age to keep, like, a secret.
Fuck.
Well, thankfully, with the ADHD, you forget easily.
No, I didn't have ADHD. I had autism.
So you never forgot.
Didn't. For every day I woke up and I was like, "We're getting a Sega."
That's the benefit of having me as a son, because I forget. A week later, I would have forgotten about it.
No.
Until I saw the gift under the tree, and it would be like, "Holy shit, I remember that!" But until that point, yeah, it would have been so out of sight, out of mind.
God, it was amazing, though. Yeah, just an absolutely brilliant thing. Mm-hmm. And then my sister and I used to fight all the time, all the fucking time. And then my parents got Sonic 2 the day it came out, mm-hmm. because my mom was like, "John, Sonic 2 is coming." Oh, is it? Yeah.
Your mom is very much not the same as my mom.
Having met your mother, this is just an adorable fucking good characteristic to add to my understanding of her as a person.
That's fantastic.
Just like, aww.
So the idea that they could get us a Sonic game that they knew that we loved, and mm-hmm. that we could play it together, because you can play it co-op, and you can play against one another, too, competitively, we put so much fucking time into that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how much until recently when I went back to play it with a friend, and he's like, "I don't want to play this with you anymore. You're
too good.
This is not fair at all."
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. this was the seed of my sister and I actually getting along. Mm. Was that when we would come home, we would play video games together. And that just kept happening more and more. And mm-hmm. The game changed, but we were always cooperating and competing in video games until it was an Olympic sport, mm-hmm. functionally.
Yeah. Sure.
And then there was a literally Olympic sport video games. Mm. No, I love being an adult and getting video games for the kids.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, when we got Mario Wonder, it was totally for my son.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the meme of, I have to make up a child because I'm bringing Legos to the register.
Yeah, no, but I mean, Mario Kart, that's the way it was for me. Yeah. My wife and I both grew up playing Mario Kart, so mm. when the kids, it was like, let's all play Mario Kart together. It sounds great.
That is good.
I have one trip that I think a lot of my core memories come from, okay. and that is, it all happened in the same year, but we had an exchange student from Germany live in our house for a full year. Mm-hmm. And that was also the same year that my oldest brother graduated from Marine boot camp.
Mm. Okay.
And so we road tripped out to San Diego for his graduation.
Oh, wow.
From Marine boot camp.
Okay.
Me, my dad, my two brothers, and our host brother.
Hmm.
All right.
And we road tripped. We went and stopped at Yellowstone.
Oh, wow.
We stopped at the Grand Canyon. We stopped at the Four Corners.
Hmm.
Went through Vegas. We went to Knott's Berry Farm. We went to Disneyland. And then we went to my brother's graduation. Like, this was a big fucking trip.
Sure.
And so this huge trip is where, like I said, so many of my experiential moments growing up came from this one trip. You know, all of the stuff at Yellowstone that I recently took my kids to Yellowstone, it was just like these things that I remembered were from that trip, you know.
Yeah.
This was the trip that I fell on a cactus.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, we were in the Badlands. Mm-hmm. And we had you climb up on top of the weird landscape.
Sure.
We had all climbed up, and Dad said it was time to go. So we're running down, and the problem is when you're running down a hill and you get to the ground level, your momentum keeps carrying you straight down.
Sure.
And I ran down the hill and I got to the bottom and just kept going down and face planted. And there was a cactus.
Oh, buddy.
Right at my crotch.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So I remember us in the car picking cactus needles.
Oh, God.
Fuck.
Oh, my God, no.
Out of my crotch.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's a memory. That's a memory that's planted
cactus
in my head.
Cactus needle crotch is the name of my sex tape.
Oh, that's the name of my country album.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely, but like, you know, seeing the four corners, you know, standing in four states at the same time, traveling across the desert down there and in just the heat and having our car, you know, radiator overheating and stopping at some random house in the middle of nowhere and just be like, knock on the door, like, can we use your hose because our car's overheating?
Right.
Which they were just like, absolutely, of course. We live in a desert. We know what, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then going out and going to Knott's Berry Farm, which was so cool as a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I'm nine. I would have been 10 or 11 at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, going to and Disneyland, you know, when we went to Disney World just this last summer, you know, some of the things I remember, like the Tiki mm-hmm. Room, it was like, that's when Dad took us to the Tiki Room at Disneyland when I was 10, you know, that's what I remember. Those are the core memories that I have. And then going to see the ocean and seeing my brother graduate, you know, and then we all fucking trekked back home. You know? That was my first trip to Las Vegas, which was we drove through Las Vegas at night and stopped at Caesar's Palace to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
Wild.
But yeah.
It's probably the most productive Las Vegas experience most people have.
We really saw the strip at night, went into a casino.
Gorgeous.
Peed, left, on our way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was quite the fucking trip, and I learned how to play blackjack that trip
when we were not in Las Vegas.
Nope, not it was when we were in Yellowstone. We were staying at one of the little cabins at Yellowstone near the Mammoth Falls. Is that what they're called? The kind of steppy looking ones. Anyway, we're staying at this little cabin there, and we start playing blackjack. And that's when I learned that my dad had been a blackjack dealer.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, when my dad...
Wild.
When he was younger, he worked for the VFW, and he was a bartender and blackjack dealer.
Huh.
Oh, my God.
And it was just like... And so, like, he taught me how to play blackjack and taught me how to play poker in this little cabin in Yellowstone. Huh. It was just like, holy shit.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Damn.
My mom taught me to play blackjack. She never dealt blackjack, though.
Yeah, no, my dad said it was really easy because all the old veterans just wanted, like, Tom Collins's and to play blackjack. And it was just so he didn't have to learn how to make too many cocktails.
Sure. Well, that makes sense.
So, yeah. Dear listener, what memories do you have growing up? What little
Share
core memories that stick with you that make you smile on a cold rainy day like it is out right now?
Yeah.
And give us your heartwarming and tear jerking stories. We want to hear them. We want to cry, in a good way.
Yeah, for the good reasons.
For the good kind of crying, please. I mean, if you need to get something out, we'll always be here for you.
Bish, I'll listen.
But that's not specifically what we're talking about now.
No.
But we will always listen. We're going to take a break.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Oh, God damn it. Why do I hang out with you? It's not the smartest thing I do with my time. What?
Prepare for surgery.
Prepare for surgery.
God damn it.
And we're back.
Hey, everybody.
James.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm Jenna. And fuck you.
I'm glad you were with me on that one.
Oh, yeah.
I hate you both.
100%. And it's time for Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Gray. Or is it Stefan?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. No.
They have merged.
Oh, no.
Opening thoughts.
Oh, God. I have concerns.
Mav, maybe?
God damn it.
Oh, no.
Ah, good.
We'll find out where. All right. All right. Question number one. Robots.
Ooh.
Or dinosaurs?
I played with way more dinosaurs as a kid than I did robots.
I'm more into dinosaurs, I think.
Well, I was thinking Transformers, because Transformers turned into cars or turned into dinosaurs. But they both turned into robots, so... Yeah.
Beast Wars. Beast Wars was really good.
I definitely went through a dinosaur phase, but I'm still in my robot phase. So,
I believe this.
Yeah, robots.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Question number two. Condescending or mean?
Why are you making me choose?
So the difference, Jenna...
It's a real Sophie's choice.
Yeah, I mean, isn't condescending already mean?
Kind of.
Hmm.
I just...
Is when somebody explains your job to you, do you respond by being condescending or just directly mean?
Oh, I am so incredibly condescending. I don't even know. Like, oh, sweet pea, no, I get that you're very excited about that, but...
Jenna, going back to a conversation that she had with me.
Oh, sweet pea, you're not the only one.
See, there it is.
I feel like I am mean to people in a fun, playful way.
I know you feel that.
I don't always succeed. I don't always succeed. I try.
If I had said that, it would have just been brushed aside. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that's something. The fact that you said that, so on top of it. Fuck, that was good.
I very much try not to be condescending, even in a fun, playful way. I also do not always succeed. I feel like meanness can be more fun, but condescending is just never.
Oh, see, Joe and I are condescending to each other all the time. Like, in a playful way.
Sure. Sure.
Usually. But no, he'll be like, oh man, I'm so tired. And I'll be like, oh, does little Joe need a nappy nap? Does little Joe need a nappy nap? And it'll be like, fuck you. And we move on with our lives,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely do things like that to each other all the time. And it is in a playful manner. I mean, sometimes I'm like,
I cannot get away with that with my wife.
No. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, does Joe need a little nappy nap? And he's like, yeah, actually, I'm going to go upstairs. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, then sleep well. Like, you know, but yeah, it's mostly it's just, yeah, we're condescending to each other, but in fun, playful ways.
My spouse and I will say things like that, but just like very directly and earnestly, like, oh, is the missile EP? Does the missile need a small sleeve?
Okay.
Yeah. We'll quote memes at each other and then like genuinely like tuck the other person in with one of our shonks or something.
You're so saccharine, it's disgusting. So you're going with
it's what I wanted. When I was in that phase where I wanted to be the cool guy that knew stuff and not just like relaxing into himboness, I tended to be condescending to others. If I am ever like outright actually mean to someone, it is probably because that's where I'm at with that person. Like, I have had a bad experience with that person, and they do not any longer get to have my time.
Yeah. I feel like in the past, I have been mean to people, and I have been condescending to people. And I will occasionally purposefully be fun mean to people. But I really don't know if I ever... And obviously I probably have, and I just don't think, can't remember, but I don't remember any times being intentionally condescending. Because in the times in the past when I've been condescending to people, I have hated that person.
Sure.
I really fucking hated that person. I never want to be that person again. So maybe I just am so far from wanting to ever do that again that even in a playful way, I just, no.
On the list of characters where if you idolize and emulate them, I'm... you are not paying attention to the message of the show. Dr. Cox is high on that level. He's high on that list. Although the character is very fun, he's a fucking jerk. And if you idolize him and behave like him, then...
And he evolved as the show went on, too. But yeah, he was still...
It took me time to... not idolize that character. Yeah. And that was an important lesson.
All right. Question number three. Shit. Jenna or Salsa?
Oh, me. Definitely me. Always me.
Yeah, Jenna.
Who do you love more? Jenna. Who do you hate more? Jenna.
Jenna.
Huh.
Who's more likely to get something done? Jenna.
Jenna.
Who's the one most likely to be sitting around playing games? Jenna.
Who's better looking? Jenna.
Oh.
Who probably smells better? Jenna.
It seems likely.
Depends on how hard you squeeze her.
Who's cooler to hang out with? Jenna.
Do you ever just feel kind of middling?
I'm okay with being middling. I never want to, like... Like, I have this, like, at work, people are always like, yeah, you know, if you do this after a little bit, you can go do this and you can do become manager and you can do it. And it's just like, I don't want to do that.
Why that would is,
I have no desire to got hired to do this job. I want to do this job. Why are we on the first day talking about if you want to go do other things, this is how you do other things. She's like, no, I want to do this job. This is what I
want
to do.
I applied for the job I want. You gave me the job I want. End of transaction.
I'm eventually going to get better at this job, and I would like to be paid more for being better at this job, but I want to do this job.
Yeah.
Right.
I have no ambitions in that respect. I am not management material. It is obvious.
I am.
Jenna owns the podcast, so I'm going to go with Jenna.
Jenna.
Yeah.
Jenna.
All right, question number four. Florida or Iowa?
Oh.
Oh, God.
I think I would rather poop in a ditch in Iowa.
It's a lot harder to saw Iowa off of the country and boot it into the ocean.
Iowa's not going to sink into the ocean when the ocean level rises.
It's just going to take a lot more effort on my part, honestly. So,
like, I'm really mad that in order to get to barbecue, I have to go through Iowa. That just pisses me off. But I also feel like maybe it's just the price I have to pay to get to barbecue. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder if there's, like, a setting on Google or Apple devices where you're like, hey, Google, plot a course to Kansas City, not through Iowa.
Oh, you can.
Avoiding highways and Iowa.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way to do that. And it's
why
possible,
are we in Canada?
But the problem is that in order to not go through Iowa, Number one, you double your fucking trip. Sure. But also, the next closest way would be through at least a portion of South Dakota, and I don't feel like doing that either, so... Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
You could go the other route around to Wisconsin.
Yeah, but then you have to cross Missouri.
Yeah.
They love company.
Again, neither way is good.
Right. So, yeah, better to just
But you can easily get to Kansas City without going through Florida.
I have terrible memories of South Dakota and Iowa because of the same ex.
Oh, shit. I have
terrible memories of South Dakota because I'm from there.
I was about to say, you earned your terrible memories.
Well,
hard.
There's that.
I think politically, both of them are...
Iowa does weird flip-floppy shit with their politics. It's bizarre. Like, sometimes they do something, you're like, Jesus Christ, when did you get progressive? And, like, the next month, you're like, oh, never mind. Like...
Oh, no. I see what you did there.
I'm way more likely to go to a theme park in Florida.
Does Iowa have...
I have no idea.
Okay.
They have corn mazes?
They have... I mean, they've got great fossil hunting.
Well, there you go. Friends of mine are getting married in Iowa next month.
Hmm. Condolences.
Mm. They're wonderful people.
Oh, but I presume. Yeah.
Okay.
With poor Troy is like...
With Florida?
Really, guys?
I mean, he's the one who wants to live there.
No, he was born...
Yeah, well...
Well, then clearly he doesn't want to live there. Well,
yeah, he doesn't live there.
But
yeah,
he escaped.
Right. I escaped from South Dakota and came to Minnesota, so maybe I can't speak. With Florida, at least you can go swimming in the ocean.
Mm.
Oh, and the food.
And the food, the key limes.
Oh, yeah,
down there.
The food.
The Cuban
like
food.
My mouth just started watering.
With Iowa, you got... Corn and
not corn.
No ocean. So I'm going to go Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm just going to go Florida because I can't bring myself to go Iowa. it really is just like, well, if I can't do that by default, I'm stuck with Florida, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Question number five.
Five.
Stefan or Gray?
Who do you think wrote this? And I think it's Stefan.
I think it's Troy.
Ooh,
that's not one of the options.
I know it's not one of the options. You know what?
This feels Stephanie.
I'm gonna say Gray. Gray is a little more prone to subterfuge.
I mean, Gray may have harnessed their inner Stefan.
Yeah.
Oh.
To write it. So, that is a possibility.
The tone and the language feels more Stefan.
Stefan-like.
Yes.
Stefan-esque.
There we go. Got it.
Stefane.
Damn it.
Question number one, robots or dinosaurs. Which was the better theme for the McDonald's transforming food toys?
Oh, that's, Jesus. Okay, that's weirdly...
You did get real fucking close. Robots.
I remember both of them, but I liked the robots
better.
I actually
don't remember the robots. I remember the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
No, the robots were better.
I think so. I wanted the hamburger one.
Question number two, condescending or mean. Do you find more catharsis in being mean to condescending people or condescending to mean people?
Well, that's weirdly close. Yeah.
I agree. Condescending to mean people.
Same. Yeah.
Oh, sweet pea, it seems like you're having some real big feelings there.
Mm-hmm. If you're mean to condescending people, then they just feel like you're attacking, you have liberal tears, you know,
right.
or snowflake is, you know, stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But if you're condescending to a mean person, mm-hmm. they cannot handle that shit.
I was actually just very directly nice to somebody mm-hmm. who was being a complete fucking asshole when I used to do, like, tires and oil changes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that guy just had a fucking meltdown. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
that mm-hmm. was...
Because if you're trying to get a rise out of
weirdly
you,
good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I gotta. I'll stick with condescending.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number three, mm-hmm. Jenna or Salsa? Who would you trust?
Oh, Jenna. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Who would you trust to responsibly use a semi truck air horn in their personal car?
Jenna. Yeah.
Who would you trust is already
to responsibly use? Again, there's number two. Mm-hmm. Who would you trust to responsibly use?
Yeah, there's just all none of this is saying Salsa. Why am I even here?
Honestly, I just imagine it happening at crosswalks if it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like the person ahead isn't of me isn't moving, and I'm just like doing the light tap.
Yeah. Yeah, I have like, I have shown up to a competition. Just
like, yeah, for no reason. Yeah.
I have shown up to a competition I am not prepared or qualified for.
Rababa, friend of the podcast, Rababa, sent me a message saying, "Have you ever considered putting a train horn or a truck horn in a tiny car?" And I said,
"Yes. Do not tempt me with such power.
I already have the equipment. Someone gifted Jesus it to
Christ.
Me. It's going in this summer.
Jesus Christ.
Just a train.
Yes.
Your
yes.
whole car lifts 3 inches off the right. ground.
I'm expecting that one or more of the body panels may like pop off just when I do that.
Yeah. Just
yeah.
the windshield explodes mm-hmm. from the vibration.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to put the penny in the back in order to keep it from lifting up in the, yeah. Like the stunt cars that did the, but the opposite of the, okay. I'm all right.
Sorry, this is a reference that I nope. am not.
All right.
All right. So, Jenna. Question number four, Florida or Iowa? Would you rather have a ridiculous road trip story in which you are the main character, Iowa, or be witness to an actual Florida man story?
I don't want to see a Florida man story happen.
Neither do I. I want to have it happen to me.
I already had a road trip experience where I was the main character in Iowa specifically.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't. Yeah. I would be so stressed out watching somebody perform a Florida man news story.
I don't want those to happen.
I don't.
Let alone witness it.
The sheer contact high from it would make me upset.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is that I don't really want to witness one of those, but I also don't want to have another shitting in a ditch in Iowa story, so...
Well, you paid your money and you take your chances.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm
glad. If I had to choose, I'd pick ditch shitting.
You were not the one shitting in that ditch.
This time.
But if it was a different
that's my book of poetry.
You are not the one shitting in this ditch.
Ditch, shitting, and other stories.
Ooh.
Alright. With like the Shel Silverstein.
Exactly, yeah. I guess
I'd have to go Iowa, which is the first time I've ever said that, but here we are.
Love you, Troy.
Question number five, Stefan or... who wrote the Fast Five this time?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So it does need to be one of them.
Does it?
According to the
does
rules.
It? Does it, though?
No, according to the rules, we have to choose one of the two.
Right, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that that's the actual...
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Let's find out if they actually sign this or if they're going to leave us hanging. Are they going to leave us hanging? This was a trick question.
Oh.
This Fast Five was a loving collaboration between Stefan, Gray, and Rababa.
Oh my fucking God.
Well, all right.
Hopefully you caught the clues to all the writers.
I think that was well fucking played.
God damn it. No, God that damn was it, beautiful. Friends. I enjoyed that immensely.
I'm cranky.
I feel like I enjoyed it even more now.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Oh, you're so cranky.
Yes, I would like a juice box and an napkin.
I can't do it as easily. It just doesn't feel as natural.
Oh, is somebody having a little cranky crank?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. I would like a new nappy.
You're in a little bad mood there?
I would like a new nappy.
Some big feelings.
I would like a bottle of milk and a nappy change, please.
God, I took a nap with a shonk today. Jax actually sent me a picture of one of the times when I fell asleep with one of the big plush IKEA sharks. But the angle of the photo and the blanket and the shark makes it look like the shark is taking a nap.
Okay.
That's not where I thought you were going with this story.
Yeah.
It's just real cute. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
Again, not where I thought this was going.
Yeah.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and now you really
Please do.
Go to aompodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. It's a lot of fun, and we don't have any in the hopper at the moment, so please do the thing. Mm. Can you top that?
Can you?
That's okay if you don't. You don't have to.
No, you don't.
Nobody's actually judging.
Honestly, yes. Just sending in the Fast Five is more than most people do in a week.
Indeed. Does anybody have any shout-outs for this week?
I want to give a shout-out to Writerly for letting me borrow the serger that you so lovingly bought her. It's really... Man, I have been having a hell of a time, and this will definitely help me get back to where I want to be with things. So.
Good, good.
Cool, cool.
Shout out to my mom. Mm. Merry Christmas. And, you know, thanks for an absolutely wonderful day at the museums.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the PWHL, and specifically Hannah Brandt on the PWHL Boston team. Those women are not only playing amazing hockey, but they are truly, truly being role models for little kids like my daughter, who look at them with stars in their eyes and dreams and see that they can do whatever they want to. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Soon.
I am going to be in Nebraska this weekend.
Whew.
I need to go through Iowa to get there. Yeah.
Well,
that's okay. I'm going to come home with beer and vodka and stories.
Yay, vodka.
We also like stories are okay. Most of those things. I think each one of us likes a different two things.
Which one don't you like?
No, I like all of them.
Okay, then.
But I like at least two.
But I used to, too.
That's what happened in my brain. Okay.
No. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for everybody who listens to this. Thank you to Stefan Gray and Rob Abuff for sending in that Fast Five. That was amazing. I truly enjoyed that. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but
I'm
pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.